Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And hello, how are you today? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've joined me. I am going to be kind of taking the helm here at the show today, and we're going to be talking more about the legacy part, but it is going to be intrinsically put into the faith aspect as well. So I want to talk today about the term legacy. What does it mean? What does it mean to have a legacy, to pass a legacy? And I wanted to start the discussion with this series from a biblical perspective. See, what I find is that we need to ground ourselves biblically first, because when we ground ourselves biblically, then we can make appropriate, accurate decisions of what it means to have our legacy be fulfilled and for our legacy to be realized as we begin to think about that. So from the term legacy, I wanted to start with a very basic discussion, which is, what does the definition of legacy mean? So I always like to go to Webster. So Webster is a great guy. And so let's take a peek at what Webster says legacy means. Legacy means a gift, specifically by will, of money or property. So in other words, legacy really means the word inheritance. So it is something received from an ancestor, predecessor, or from the past. So legacies mean something that we have gathered together, whether it is monetarily. As Christians, we look at it on a spiritual sense, and it could also be a legacy. So from something from the past, something we've gathered to from the past and want to move forward. And so therefore, it means a gift, an inheritance, a birthright, or a heritage. And as I think about legacy, this is actually becoming a greater part of what my heart really is as I look at estate planning, is talking to individuals about what does it mean for you to pass a legacy. See, as an estate planner, what I find a lot is that I have individuals walk into my office and they think this is a simple transfer. In other words, I've got a bank account, I've got houses, I've got IRAs, investment accounts, maybe life insurance. So there's things that have monetary value. And the drill of estate planning is that I want to move that from myself when I die, or if you're a couple, from take care of each other first. And then once both of us are gone, I want to make sure that what I have gets to the right people. And of course, a lot of estate planning, as you've heard from previous shows, or if you've listened to me before, the first issue of estate planning is that I need to make sure that you as an individual, you as a person, is that you are well taken care of first. So that means powers of attorney. That means that we look at your life, make sure that you have sufficient money, make sure that the right people are assisting you and that they're not going to take something, that they're not going to do something that is not appropriate. So that's step one in any type of legacy or passing of things. But then we come to the second phase, which is what happens to everything when you die? And the mentality of a majority of individuals that walk into my office is that this is very transactional. This is taking an asset, changing the name from myself to maybe my girls. So I have two daughters. And if I die, I want to make sure that what is in my bank account gets to them equally. But that's a very transactional thought process versus legacy from a biblical standpoint, I think, is far more than just simply passing something from one person to another person. It's far more there's so much more depth in biblical legacy. Now, if we look at the Bible, and if you do a word search in it, both whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, the word legacy is not to be found. So it's a terminology that we use now. As a matter of fact, well, at least I find this stuff interesting because I like words, that when I looked up the term legacy, it showed me a graph at how often was this term utilized in the English language, or in other words, in society as a whole. And it actually is a little bit of a buzzword lately. So over the past 20 years, according to this graph, the term legacy has really been on the increase. It is something that I think society as a whole is far more interested in. As a matter of fact, have you ever done one of the blood test things? It traces your heritage, right? So they have these kits and these, you can go to ancestry.com or I don't know what the websites are, to be honest. I have not looked at those specific websites, but just the whole notion of I want to trace where I come from. I want to trace who are the people that came before me and set me up to be at a place where I am today. And I think that a lot of the uptick is from those types of searches, is that as we look at the term legacy, we actually turn our eyes backwards and we want to discover what was the foundation that I have been standing on that maybe I didn't know or that I didn't understand. And from that, we begin to gain some of our self-identity or work out some of our self-identity. So my proposition then is that we need to go back to the Word of God to gain our identity. So what is the term legacy as it means or as it is described on a biblical sense? And that's what I want to look at today. This terminology of legacy, although it's not a biblical word, quote unquote, what it translates more into is the term inheritance or inheritor, inherit. So any combination of the word inherit. Now, that term is littered throughout the word. There is a bunch of term inherit or inheritance in the Old Testament. Probably three or four times as much. I didn't count the words, but just in looking at the different scriptures, it is a far more prevalent word in the Old Testament than it is in the New. And what I found very fascinating is that the whole philosophy around that word changes from the Old Testament to the New. So let's take a peek at this term inherit as we talk about legacy and what does it mean for us. So in the Old Testament, there's two main terms that inherit comes for, or inheritance. Now, let me preface this by saying I am not a Hebrew scholar. I'm also not a Greek scholar. But what I do love is I really love words, which is probably why I went towards being an attorney. As a matter of fact, I really do know that that's why I went towards being an attorney. I used to look over contracts and look at the language and go, I bet you that word could mean this or this. And if it means that, then I win. But if it means that, then the contract wins. So that's actually how I found my direction into law, was I looked at words. So understanding that about Paul Grant is a really important aspect, is I like to look at words. I like to go to the Hebrew and to the Greek. Now, there's a thing called a Strong's Concordance, right? So if you enjoy word searches, maybe you also utilize that tool. So as I look at the Strong's Concordance, I see that there's two different terminologies in the Old Testament with the term inherit. The first one is, I'm not very good at pronouncing these things, but it's Yahresh, Yahresh. And that terminology is, for example, is found in Psalms 37, verse 11. And that verse says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and enjoy peace and prosperity." So the meek shall inherit. That terminology, or that word, that base root word, means to seize, to drive out and occupy, to make someone possess. So in other words, that term is very active. It is not a passive term of inherit. And I think that's a really important thing to understand as we look specifically at the Old Testament, is that there was a duty to Israel to go in and actually possess and take and fight and conquer in order to receive their inheritance. And so that term, the meek shall inherit, is a very proactive terminology. It is not a term that says, this is handed to you. This is a transfer, or you have simply received. Those are all passive words. Those are all passive actions to stand still and to allow it to come to you. So this first term in the Hebrew is opposite of that. And as a matter of fact, I think most of us, if we were to look at the meek shall inherit the earth, that we may naturally think, oh, that's a passive action. That is something that is handed to us. And yet, the term means exactly the opposite. So in the Old Testament, this first term is a very active word. Now, the other term, which we do relate to, is found, for example, in Deuteronomy 12:10. And it says, when you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is given you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies and will surround you so that you live in security. Now, that word is a more passive. That one means to actually inherit. That means to actually receive a bequest. It's to take an inheritance and to actually take possession. That one, I think, is what we more inherently think of when we use the terminology inherit. So, what I think, though, if we use the term legacy, I think that we naturally combine those two together. That if we use the word legacy, at least from my perspective, what that means is I have to proactively participate in writing down something, a vision, a purpose, a goal that can be handed off, and there is the secondary part, and received by the next generation. However, what I want to show you on a biblical front is that it's actually the next generation's mandate to participate in that handoff in order to have a true legacy or a true inheritance. So therefore, when we use the word legacy, I think that it's a little more intuitive for us to combine both of those Hebrew words. The one that says, I got to be active, I got to possess, I got to take control, and I need to do something to work into it, versus the passive language of to stand still and to receive and to inherit. So legacy. That's the discussion for today. What does that actually mean? What does it mean for us to be Christians and begin to think about our legacy? And of course, as an estate planner, how do we actually realize that we want to effectuate and bring to pass the vision that God has given us so that we can leave a legacy that is more than just us dying and having an obituary written, and more than just passively assigning an account to somebody? So as we take a break, I want you to begin to give thought. What does it mean in your mind when you hear the word legacy? What does it mean for you personally to say, I want my legacy to be, and you fill in the blank? So as we head into break here, we're going to take a short break. Of course, you can find information about the Legacy and Faith Show. You can go to legacyandfaith.com. We have loaded up all of our past podcasts. There's information there. There's ways to communicate with Planning with Purpose, my law firm. So if this conversation is intriguing, if you need assistance in any way, I'd love to be able to meet you, shake your hand, and talk to you about your personal journey of creating a legacy that can last generationally. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, and I'll be right back after this moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back. So we're talking about legacy today. And of course, this is called the Legacy and Faith Show. And so I get a really nice mix today of talking about both of those topics, because we're talking about legacy, but we're looking at the biblical view of what does it mean to leave a legacy. And let me phrase it like this. What is your ultimate why? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you building and saving money? Why are you donating it to your church? Why are you donating it to missions? Why are you active in your church? Why are you spending the time that you have on earth doing exactly what you are doing as of today? We need, I think, as believers, to consistently come back and ask ourselves that question. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And the reason is because that will give us and hopefully drive us back to the one that we can actually get our why from. We can get our why from the beautiful voice of the Holy Spirit that comes from the Father, that gives the Father's heart so that we can actually have a fulfilling, purposeful life. And by that, then, your why of why am I saving and why is it important to me to leave something to the next generation should also be discussed, because that will then lead us into, well, what exactly, if you can answer the why question, now we can actually begin to focus on what does it mean for you to leave legacy. So legacy has to start at your why. It has to start from your why to your legacy, and then we need to actually enact it. Now, I looked at Psalm 37 as we were talking about the term inherit. Now, that is also a very common scripture found in Matthew 5:5 from the Sermon on the Mount, and you probably recognized it from there, which says, when Jesus was talking and giving the Beatitudes, He came and said that the meek shall inherit the earth. Okay, so blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So there is a New Testament term called inherit. Now that word inherit, inheritance, interestingly enough, at least I find it interesting, is that that is the same word throughout the Greek. There is no differentiation like there was in the Hebrew. And I find this fascinating because here Jesus is proclaiming and demonstrating a psalm to a very large crowd, and he is saying that the meek shall inherit the earth. So he is proclaiming a different type of inheritance. That term in the Greek means simply to be an heir, to obtain an inheritance. Now, this is minorly striking to me that Jesus made a mistake, that he came in and used the wrong word for inherit, because he uses the word that is passive instead of active. So I find it fascinating. By the way, Jesus didn't make a mistake. If you don't know my sense of humor yet, that was a part of it. So as we look at what Jesus was proclaiming compared to the scripture that he was quoting, is that he changed the actual meaning of this particular scripture. Now, if you're like me, I think we could probably agree that Jesus was rather adept at understanding and knowing the scripture. Now, the scripture at that time was not the New Testament. None of it had been written, right? As a matter of fact, Jesus is the catalyst and the only reason that we have the New Testament. The scripture, whenever you see scripture in the Old in the New Testament, it's referring back to the old. So he was very adept at this. As a matter of fact, do you remember in Luke 2 when Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem and actually was in the temple? He stayed and was listening. So his parents were days away from him until they realized that he wasn't there. And it took 3 days to actually get back to Jesus. And he was in the temple all days and he was listening and asking questions. And those questions were so astounding that it marveled the teachers of that day that he was around. And then Mary hid that in her heart. Well, I think it was a little bit more of grabbing Jesus by the ear and dragging him out of the temple at that moment, because she was human and she was not perfect. And so the account of Luke is way past the time that Jesus was crucified and probably talked to his mom specifically about that. So yes, in hindsight, she hid it in her heart. I'm not so sure it was a happy day that you lost your 12-year-old son. But Jesus was a part and understood the scripture. So I would guess that he was very acquainted with what that term in Psalms was being said, that he understood that this was an active proposition, that this was a go and conquer the land, that this was a go and be active and use your force to take and possess. And yet, in the Greek, he uses it differently. And why is that? Well, because the whole New Testament is based upon the free gift of God. It's not a go and take it. It is a, this is, you've been saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the only terminology attached to inherit or inheritance in the New Testament is the idea of receiving. It is not the idea of works. It is not the idea of you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go and take. Rather, it is positioning ourselves in the beauty of a relationship with God to receive from our Heavenly Father, who gives abundantly and who gives graciously. And here, the terminology changes, and I think it's just fascinating and beautiful. It is a clear representation of what had to be taking place in the Old Testament as far as going and possessing and taking with force versus now we sit and we receive because we're heirs, because we are considered sons and daughters, because we are considered children of the Most High God by the gift of Jesus Christ, who walked out this earth and ultimately proclaimed the final gift on the cross. And that's a beautiful picture. As a matter of fact, if you're hearing this today and you have not received that gift, that beautiful gift of Jesus Christ, if you have not been in a position of understanding that this gift of freedom is not just with salvation, but it is a freedom of walking in life, that we can have emotional freedom, we can have mental freedom, we can have freedom in our relationships, our finances, our health. There is freedom in every aspect of life because of what the cross has done, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. And on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What's finished? Everything that you have need of. And if you have not been in a position, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior up until this point,
then I encourage you to do so, because this scripture is the foundation of all of Christianity, that we cannot come to God and work our way into a relationship with Him. Because as man, we have been separated from Him, and we need a way to come back into His presence. We need a way that we can enter into His glory and into His perfection. And imperfection cannot stand in the light of that perfection. So our imperfection must be eliminated. It must be covered. And that covering is Jesus Christ. And yet salvation as a free gift is so easy. Romans says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of God, that you shall be saved. And again, today is the day of salvation. And I encourage you, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have had a time in your life where you have not been connected to that free gift, I encourage you to come back. Simply cry out to the Lord. Confess your sin. In other words, acknowledge that you need Him and that He is your only solution. And the Word says that you shall be saved. I encourage you to take that step today. As a matter of fact, if you do, please reach out to me. Let me know that this program has influenced your life and that you have decided to be a follower of Jesus Christ and receive that free gift. You can head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's information. There's ways to communicate. Hit that communicate button. Shoot me an email. Let me know that you have made a choice for Jesus Christ. Well, next week, we're going to continue this conversation of what does it mean to have legacy, inherit, inheritance, because I want you to create not just an estate plan. I want you to create a legacy that is lasting and a legacy that is lasting for the kingdom of God. That is our journey. That is our hope, that we have an everlasting effect on this earth. So thank you so much for joining me on the Legacy and Faith Show today. Head over to legacyandfaith.com and have a wonderful, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.